I got to tell you, I've met thousands and thousands of salespeople, and the ones that are the best are the ones that care. They are super nice, down to earth people. There's nothing up their sleeve. They're not trying to trick you. But yet, I think as a salesperson or an entrepreneur or somebody that, like, you have to bring your message to the world to get what you want, right? To spread it, to get people activated, whatever it is, there's this internal voice where we're like, oh, people aren't going to like me if, or I don't want to be seen as. And so that it gets, it's like these breaks that just come on and prevent us from being at our potential. And I'm a firm believer that if you're in sales, you're in one of the greatest professions in the world. You're a change agent. You're a guide. You make things happen. You know, whether you see it as salespeople put the fuel in the car and the car is the company, or we put presents under the tree or pay mortgages, any of those things go, right?
Welcome to the Legacy Roadmap Podcast, your ultimate guide for creating a lasting legacy as an entrepreneur. Whether you're an ambitious entrepreneur or a seasoned business owner, our podcast offers insightful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and experts who have navigated the path of legacy creation. We explore topics that matter to you: personal responsibility, financial growth, leadership, and succession planning. Our goal? To equip you with practical insights and strategies that help you transition from simply running your business to building a legacy. Join us each week as we delve into purposeful discussions aimed at positively impacting future generations. Your journey towards leaving a lasting legacy starts right here, right now. Let's dive in.
Does your business serve homeowners? If so, you need to know about HOA.com, the number one referral network for professionals who serve homeowners. And we're looking for quality contractors and home service pros that we can recommend and refer to homeowners in your area. Not only will you get promoted on the HOA.com website, you'll get business from other certified pros and premier pros in your market. These people serve homeowners every day, so we help you build referral partnerships that keep referrals coming to your business for years to come. Go to HOA.com/pro now and get started.
Are you an entrepreneur or business owner? If so, you need to know about the Achieve Systems Business Building Membership. We are one of the best referral-based communities that wants to refer you. We help generate you thousands of leads per year. We also provide you an incredible mentorship program that has won many awards. We don't stop there. We have 60 plus opportunities to take your business to the next level, like authoring and publishing books and many, many more. Go to AchieveSystemsPro.com and get started today.
Do you want to make more money in your business? Most business owners focus on building revenue. That's not enough. Building profits is what feeds your family, and almost no business owner understands how to build profit without building revenue. I can show you with near-perfect accuracy the exact business growth strategies that will generate the most revenue for your business in the shortest amount of time, focused on building profit. Learn more at bizlife.coach. Today's guest has founded and run numerous companies over the last 30 years and now runs Improving Sales Performance, a consultancy that supports sales organizations to build high-performing teams and achieve their revenue goals. Carl Becker is the author of Set Up to Win, Three Frameworks to a High-Performing Sales Organization, and Sales and Marketing Alignment. He has a BA in Economics from Colorado College and an MBA from the University of Colorado in Boulder. Robert chats with Carl Becker about icebergs. We see many examples of how entrepreneurship and high performance are like an iceberg, but Carl applies it to selling. The real strength in the sales conversation is, can you be curious? Can you ask the right questions and truly want to learn the answers? Well, Carl, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I look forward to a great conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So we start each show talking a little bit about legacy, Carl. So tell me what legacy means to you.
Yeah. You know, I'll give you two answers. I think there's little legacy and big legacy. And little legacy for me is when others kind of take what you've done or what you've taught them and implement it in their lives. And it's simple. Right? It's simple. It's day to day. So I'll give you an example. I'll overhear my kids on a Zoom call running like a class project. And I've been a consultant forever. And so they've always heard me on Zoom, like all the time. But to watch them interact with their peers at a high school level or junior high level and really seek to understand those other kids and give them an opportunity and kind of lead a group discussion to get to an outcome makes my heart warm. Like, I'm like, wow, how'd they learn this? I'm like, oh, they hear me facilitate every day of their lives. So to me, that's like a little legacy. Like, you can observe people doing the things that you really value and they just incorporate naturally. Big legacy is like that too, but I think it's in the face of adversity. So I live in Colorado. I know you're in Colorado. About 2 years ago, a really horrible wildfire went through Superior, Colorado, and Louisville, Colorado, where I live. And so it was devastating because a lot of our friends lost their house. It was just stress on the community. Luckily, I did not lose my house, but certainly neighbors did. And my kids would take the bus to school every day afterwards. And they're just going through ruins of houses, thousands of houses, like over 1,000 houses. But what was amazing during that time was how not only my wife and my kids, they all stepped up to help the community. And I think to me, that's the legacy of like impact. Like, do you want to be somebody that every day you bring the best you can and you support other people and you just do it because you want to? You don't expect anything out of it. And so I think about the conversations they had, the way they showed up for their friends, for the community. And it wasn't like us as parents were saying, you need to do this. Now's the time to step up. They stepped up and they actually kind of led us too. So to me, I think legacy is being able to witness what you value show up in the people, the communities around you, no matter what, whether it's simple and small or big and stressful and overcoming adversity. Mm.
Yeah, that's a pretty special moment in a life as a parent when you see your kids doing really good, impactful things, and you're like, "Oh man, who'd they learn that from?
Who did they do that? It wasn't me. How'd they do that?"
it's crazy. Like, obviously, part of our story is we raised our kids in South America. We spent 10 years in Bogota, Colombia. And I'd come home and I'd hear these people like taking their kids on a mission trip. And I'm like, oh, that'd be so cool. Those are such cool parents. And yet we lived it. So it's one of those, just, you don't connect the dots to some of the things that you've done until you see your kids doing them. And it's kind of, it shifts that. So that's pretty powerful. So thank you for sharing that. Oh. So tell me a little bit about your own journey into authorship, into business.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I have been, so if you're listening and you are the kid who would knock on doors and sell Girl Scout cookies, whether it was for your sister or you were a little girl and you sold Girl Scout cookies or whatever it was, subscriptions, you pushed the lawnmower around, you had a lemonade stand, you were the person that was just like, I want to get out and make something happen. That's how I was as a little kid. I always love connecting with people and I always had ideas. I'm an idea creator type guy. And to me, sales ended up becoming this thing that I didn't even know I was doing. It was just a way to share an experience or something that I enjoyed with other people. And then if they wanted to go on that journey with me or say yes, then all of a sudden I'm a salesperson, I guess, as I got older, right? So my journey has been one of always just wanting to bring ideas forward. And as I kind of did that, I've worked at some large companies, but for the most part, I've been an entrepreneur all my life and I'm 51 years old. So I've always been out there doing and making it happen just because I like to bet on myself. I like to create, I just like potential. I like possibility. So over the years, I've had different businesses. I had one for about 10 years, about 2000 to 2010. And we were a digital ad agency doing websites and mobile apps and things like that. Did some pretty cool high-end work. For example, we were the first company to build an iPhone application for the Porsche brand. So we were doing big stuff like that. But the big Great Recession came, wiped out my business. I declared bankruptcy and decided to start over and reinvent myself. And so when I did, I started to think about like, who do I like? Who can I help? And it was other business owners. Because oftentimes in sales, they just were like, if I could just clone myself, you know, and they would hire people and it would be a revolving door because it never quite worked out. And I was like, I think I can solve that. And so since that time, I've been on this journey of coming into organizations, helping leaders understand how to build a healthy, happy, high-performing team, and then also coach them up, upskill their team. And so in that journey, I've written three books. My latest is Iceberg Selling. which I love. There might be a bias there, but it's my favorite book of the three. And the whole idea there is everything's an iceberg until you look underneath. You don't really know what's going on.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that metaphor, obviously. And so love that journey. First of all, I think selling Girl Scout cookies is like cheating. Like that's not even a sale.
Sell Girl Scout cookies. Yeah.
That's just a whole different category, right? Because nobody says no to Girl Scout cookies. Let's be honest. So the rest of the world sells other stuff that people can say no to, but yeah, that's fantastic. And I mean, obviously the visionary heart and the idea generator is one of those things that leads itself towards entrepreneurship, right? And jumping into that space. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, and hopefully a lot that are listening, really do struggle in that sales space. And you used some different language. You talked about if they're willing to join me on the journey. Mm-hmm. Could you speak a little deeper into that idea in the sales conversation?
Yeah. I mean, I think with sales, so often we have head trash. You watch TV and, you know, if I told you all right now to write down three characteristics of a salesperson that you saw on television, you'd probably say manipulative, forceful, salesy, you know, maybe slimy or maybe slick and super successful and like all about money and image. And I got to tell you, I've met thousands and thousands of salespeople, and the ones that are the best are the ones that care. They are super nice, down to earth people. There's nothing up their sleeve. They're not trying to trick you. But yet, I think as a salesperson or an entrepreneur or somebody that, like, you have to bring your message to the world to get what you want, right? To spread it, to get people activated, whatever it is, there's this internal voice where we're like, oh, people aren't going to like me if, or I don't want to be seen as. And so that it's like these breaks that just come on and prevent us from being at our potential. And I'm a firm believer that if you're in sales, you're in one of the greatest professions in the world. You're a change agent. You're a guide. You make things happen. You know, whether you see it as salespeople put the fuel in the car and the car is the company, or we put presents under the tree or pay mortgages, any of those things go, right? So why do we have this head trash? And so one of the things I like to do is really help people work past that, put it over here, put it away. I mean, you can still have it and own it. And if there's things that have happened in your past, okay, claim them. But if we're going to be successful as human beings, it's about helping other people. It's about understanding where they're coming from, meeting people where they are, and then bringing things forward that we think are a really good fit. And so I probably said something like, you know, are they going to join me? Do they want to, you know, like participate in this? Do they want change? Do they want to at least be open to the possibility of something different? And I think so much of life starts there, right? Are we open to something new? And so to me, selling and helping people up level how they are in the world usually starts there.
Yeah. Well, I think salesmen are the greatest profession in the world, partly because they're the one job in our culture that still pay for performance. Mm-hmm. And so they get paid for performing, and whether that's good or bad, it separates the people that don't really want to work and don't really want to do what needs to get done. And so the people that are willing to step in, and I think those are the people that hate sales, right? Because wait, then I gotta hunt for my food, right?
Right. It's up to me all of a sudden. You know, yeah. I have to reflect back that my success is up to me. Yeah.
And most people don't want to own that. Right. They're content with a job that's going to pay them 9 to 5. And if they get 2.5 productive hours out of the day, then it's a good day for the company. And the company's satisfied with that in most cases. But in the entrepreneurial space, we really do have to be, you know, we have to be on our game, and we have to.
I always say entrepreneurs are straight commission. You know, if you're a business owner, you're straight commission. You don't have a base salary. No one's guaranteeing anything. You are a straight commission, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And some of us are straight commission with a overhead, right? You got to pay the overhead first before you get your commission. So there's an even bigger, you know, motivation for that driver. But I think that pay for performance model is really powerful, and entrepreneurs experience it, salesmen experience it, and the people that are willing to lean into that, it really does lend itself well to owning your stuff and taking responsibility for your life and taking responsibility for your business, but you also take responsibility for your income. And I think that's something that's definitely American and definitely entrepreneurial, which is why the free enterprise system is so powerful here in the United States, is that idea of we can eat what we kill and we can go out and hunt and get. But you really made the point of the best salesmen, and I think the best entrepreneurs really care. They're solving a problem. They're selling a solution, and the world needs what they're offering. And so if they're holding themselves back and their mind trash is stopping them from making that impact, but really we were created to create greatness for other people, and it's only great if other people use it. And so you've got to get yourself out there and get over your brain stuff and put your solution out in the world, because it really needs it.
Totally agree. So in the book, Iceberg Selling, there's four mindsets. You've already hit two of them. One is ownership mindset. And literally I've written down, you're responsible for your own success. That's a big part of that chapter. And you just nailed it. And I guess that's...
You said it nicer than I did in my book.
But it's true, right?
Like, the chapter in my book is called Own Your Shit.
Own Your Shit. Ownership mindset, own your shit. The same thing, but it's like ultimately, right? Like, are you going to wake up and go, who's standing in my way of success? And if you start to point to other people, then you're kind of missing the boat. If you start to look at yourself in the mirror and you say, you know what? I can write my own chapter. I can write my own book. I can write my own future. I can do this. And here's the thing. If there's something you're selling, and I'm just going to say communicating, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be a tangible product. It could be an idea. If there's something that you're passionate about and you think will improve somebody else's life, then isn't it kind of your responsibility, if you're that passionate about it, to bring it forward and own the success of that? And so I do think what you're saying is so important here. There's so many people, you know, oh, I wish I'd write a book. I'll start a business someday. I'll take my kids to Disneyland someday. I'll work out someday. And it's like, okay, well, how about someday now? You know, and a lot of times when we really unpack that, what's in our way of our own success is this sponge in between our ears, and the voices that it tells us whether we can or can't do it. And so I think so much of what we're talking about is, activating yourself, getting into action.
We'll be right back after this short break. Do you need an increase in revenue? We help business owners find $100K in 90 days and create a roadmap for implementation. There's no pressure, just a chance to get some assistance and clarity. Scheduling is easy. Simply visit ownitcall.com and select a time that works for you. It's time for you to focus on doubling the 20% that creates 80% of your revenue. Welcome back. Let's get back to more greatness. Well, and I think it takes people like you and I to help people believe, right? Mm-hmm. To believe that they have other options. Because I think most of them don't do those things. That the someday is really, it's not just a mindset issue. It's really a belief that they're just not ready, or the circumstances aren't right. And yet the only person that can change the circumstances and make them ready is themselves. And okay. So helping them believe just in the possibility, hey, do you know, if you wrote a page a day, you'd have a book at the end of a year. Like, you know what that would look like if you just started. And of course, once you start a page, like, you won't stop. You and I both know that once you actually start, your brain can't let go of it. And your brain will finish the book. And so it's powerful when you can help somebody believe. I call it the, you know, the power of borrowed belief, or gift of borrowed belief, right? Like you and I both have experienced as parents, right? Believing in our kids and empowering them to believe in themselves. So many parents do this protection thing, right? And we hold them back by saying, don't do that. That's too risky. Oh, don't ride your bike that way. Or, you know, and we're trying to keep them in a bubble and protect them. But the reality is, when we let them loose, they show us amazing things like, oh, look what they just took over to the neighbors and did for them, and what they do think about for the community, and different things that they, they take action. And so I think a lot of our mindset issues come from parents or teachers or elders that we're trying to protect.
Yeah.
And in reality, our brain's already protecting us. And so we don't need as much protection as people think we do.
I agree. You know, like, I think one of those things is we think we're helping someone. Like you think about the typical helicopter parent. They're not doing it to put their kid in a bad place. They're doing it because they're like really are worried about their kid. There's a ton of love and caring. But I think with so many things, right? Like sometimes you have to let go and trust the process, trust what you've done. And I think business or parenting is the same thing. Like you are smart enough to raise a kid. You have enough life experiences to raise a child. You also have enough life experiences right now to start your own business. You really do. Or to take an idea you have and bring it forward. You've lived it. It's your life. It's yours. It's coming out of your own brain. And if you have some level of trust in whatever you want to trust in, right? I'm happy to go anywhere with like wherever you want to trust. But the point is you're probably already equipped to do this. It's just that action getting activated that sometimes it's hard. And maybe somebody's listening like, well, how do I do it? You know, like I'll take the first step. Just take the first step. And then the next kind of happens. And before you know it, your horizon, what you're looking at is different. It's changed.
I like that. Yeah. So if they're listening right now and they're like, oh, Carl, what's the first step?
Yeah, that's a good one. The first one is believe that you can. And even if you don't, do it. Like whatever it is, what's the simplest thing you can do? You know, if it's you want to exercise, well, you know, put your earbuds in and go walk around the block. You know, if you have a stationary bike, go sit on it for 2 minutes while I'm talking. And guess what? You just did the thing. If it's business, this is my favorite one. I'll talk to other people that will go, I want to be a consultant. I'm like, well, what are you really good at? And they tell me what they did the last 20 years of their life. And I go, okay, we're going to go through LinkedIn or you're going to through your inbox or your, you know, your Outlook, whatever, where names are. And you're going to pick three people that know you from your past and you're going to call them and grab a coffee. And you're going to say, what's a problem you're dealing with right now? Give me three. And my guess is if somebody gives you three problems and you really want to be a consultant, you can do one of them. And then you just say, hey, would you give me an opportunity to solve this problem for you? Now, guess what? You just had a sales call, by the way. That was just a sales call. And if they say yes, you just made a sale. And if you agree to do it, now you're a consultant. You're doing it. No, I didn't say a business plan or build a web page or, you know, get your mission statement, get your core values. I'm just saying get in the game. And guess what? If you talk to three people and they all say no, you learn something. And maybe the fourth person is going to say yes. But it's not rocket science. It's about you getting out there and just
trying. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't even need to use LinkedIn or your Facebook. You just call somebody.
Go to your phone.
call your first three clients are in here.
They are already. I would even say right now, like if I wanted another client right now, I bet you're right. I bet even with the book of business I have and my team has, there's another one already in my directory, you know, in my phone right now. It's a contact sport. Sales is a contact sport. Creating ideas and getting them into the world is a contact sport. You got to tell somebody about it.
That's so good. All right, Carl, tell us a little bit more about iceberg selling. What's under the water?
Yeah. So I appreciate you asking. The whole kind of concept would come from I'm doing coaching. I'm working with business owners and they're talking about how they wish they could sell more effectively. Or maybe they have these great appointments and then they get ghosted and they're like, it went great. What happened? You know, or they're running a sales meeting and they've never really run a sales meeting before, but all of a sudden, you know, fast forward, they have three salespeople and they don't know how to help them. They don't know how to leverage them up. And so I live in that world every day. And I started to think about, you know, well, is there an easy paradigm? Is there an easy way of thinking that people could take with them and implement right away? And the first thought I had, and it was funny, I was going through all these presentations from past keynotes and workshops, and there'd be this iceberg every couple times in this slide. And I'd read what I wrote, you know, Carl 5 years ago, Carl 10 years ago. And sure enough, it was all around, we only see 10% of what's going on at any one time. And once we start to see the other 90%, we can be of service, we can be in solution. And I started to go, wait a minute, that's all I'm trying to communicate here from like the big idea. So that's what I would share with you as step one is, if you're selling and I asked you not, hey, do you think you're going to close this deal? But tell me about tell me about Robert's World. Could you tell me? And if you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, guess what? Then you're living in that 10% above the water. And, you know, how could we be successful if we only saw 10% of anything, right? Anything in your life. So the first concept is, can you get curious? Can you slow down? Can you realize that until you can get someone's world, you're not going to be as effective as possible when you sell? And that was kind of the first aha. And then from there, I kind of created five steps or five best practices of what I call iceberg selling. I'm happy to go through any or all of them, but I thought I'd pass it back to you in case there's something that inspired you.
No, I like that idea. And obviously, you know, a good sales conversation, like you just talked about the sample with our friend who's looking to be a consultant, right? What problem do you have? And then how can I help you solve it? Right. I mean, really entrepreneurs are problem solvers, right? The value add that we have in the marketplace is solutions, and the world needs your solution. If you're listening and you haven't started your business yet, know the problem you solve. And then if you're really good, you know who you solve it for and you know why you want to solve it. And if you know those three things, you've got a pretty good story going. And it's that story that people are going to build trust and rapport with you and say, well, hey, that's me. I've got that problem. Will you help me? Right. Exactly. And self-identify, which are the fantastic clients, because they're the ones that reach out and say, man, I heard you talking and I just identify with your story, right? There's a psychographic connection. And then I really need that solution that you're offering. Well, what does it look like to work with you?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say one of the funny stories I tell about quote icebergs is, you know, how many of you have ever been told you load the dishwasher wrong? I would imagine everyone listening is probably starting to laugh and have a grin on their face. So one day I'm at home and I load the dishwasher and my wife comes home and you can kind of tell she did a double take. The sink's clean, kitchen's clean, what's going on? And I think out of habit, I don't think she meant to do this. She opens the dishwasher while I'm in the kitchen and looks in it and goes, you loaded it wrong. Okay. So luckily I don't get defensive. I just said, hey, I'm sorry I loaded it wrong, but my guess is there something else going on? Because that's what it was. It wasn't that I loaded the dishwasher wrong. It was that there were some other things going on in her life. And that was kind of like the last straw, right?
All right, I got to take a side story just because my father-in-law right. would have told me, load the dishwasher wrong so she doesn't ask you to load it again. All right, back to your story. Right.
So we decided to get really present with each other, kind of turned my phone off. I had some time. We sat, we just talked. And without going into the detail of the story, the point is in that moment, the top of the iceberg was that I loaded the dishwasher wrong. But what was really going on was much deeper than that. And when we just connected as human beings, and I got curious and I asked open-ended questions and I was really present with her, I met her where she was, we learned what was really going on and we were able to work through it as a couple. Mm-hmm. None of it was serious. It wasn't the serious thing, but it was for her at that moment.
Sure. And the challenge is in most relationship, this is the space where it blows up, right? You get defensive. What do you mean I loaded it wrong? And then you're right. She's right. And now it's a power struggle to prove who's right. And exactly. The thing that's really bothering her gets pushed deeper in and never comes to the surface.
And I think you'll see salespeople do this. They'll say, well, I told them how to solve it. I was right. Our solution's perfect. And it's like, oh, so you're talking at this person, not with them. Ooh. And you're trying to make yourself right. It's like, of course they're not going to buy from you. You just shut down all possibility of collaboration and learning. So that kind of gets into iceberg selling. The very first step is do the research. Like if I'm going to meet with somebody, what can I do ahead of time to just what's most likely going on? And a story I tell there is my dad turned 80. I wanted to do a surprise birthday party for him. And if any of you go, well, a surprise birthday party for an 80-year-old, I'm not sure you'd want to do that. That's exactly what I'm talking about, right? That's the research. Like if I started to think about an 80-year-old, I'm not going to have it at night. I'm not going to surprise him. I'm not going to surprise his friends. I'm not going to have his friends crouch down, you know, underneath the couch. Like they're not going to pop up, right? They might not get back up.
Two broken hips and a knee replacement.
Right. And so, you know, what's the research? What do you know already? I know if I did take my dad out to dinner, there better not be stairs. I better not let him drive at night. And, you know, I better have some well-lit tables and a menu with font that's big enough to read, right? But those are the basic things. So the first part of iceberg selling is like, what do you already know? And can you bring that to the meeting? And here's a secret. Professionals want to work with other professionals. Professionals do pre-game work, right? So that's kind of step one. Step two is set yourself up for success. When you meet with somebody, tell them what to expect. I know this sounds like super basic stuff, and it is, but we forget to do it. Even I forget to do it. I'm doing sales coaching all the time, and sometimes I'll skip these steps, and then at the end I'll scratch my head and go, what went wrong? I'm like, oh my God, you know, I didn't do this thing. So, you know, when you set yourself up for success, nobody wants a surprise or a gotcha around the corner. So I like to just say, hey, why don't we spend 30 minutes? Tell me a little bit about you, how you even started at the company you're at, or how did you take this job? What's your day like? What challenges are you looking to solve? You know, if you had a magic wand, how would you make your life better? I want them to know that I want to hear about them. And then I'm going to tell them, I'll share with you what I do and how we might be able to help you out. And if from there it makes sense, let's start to talk about ideas, kind of co-create what it could look like to work together. And if it's not a fit, I'm happy to share any knowledge I have to maybe help you along the way. How does that sound? And guess what? 51 years old. I've never had someone go, Carl, that sounds horrible. I don't want that at all. I want you to sell, just talk to me and not listen at all. And then at the end, ask me if I want to buy. That's what I really want. Nobody ever says that.
Well, and it's true, right? When we truly have a solution that we're confident in and we're willing to have the conversation. And I think for some, this is where that ethical challenge comes, right? Because when I do hear the conversation and I'm not a good fit, you know, I've got to be able to be at the space to be able to say, man, Carl, this has been a great conversation and I really learned a lot, but I'm not sure that I'm the right guy for you, but I might know somebody who is, right? And I think in sales that they get so caught up in, well, just the game, right? The idea of calling it a game. Wow. And I think that's part of why the sales field got such a bad reputation, right? I think there's a couple pieces in that, but the one is salesmen that do sell something to somebody that isn't the right fit. Absolutely. But then the other side of that is the salesman that doesn't have the tool for the buyer's remorse, right? And isn't able to help the person who makes the purchase, but then starts to regret it and isn't ready for it, right? And so there's that. Those two things lead to that reputation that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Well, you know, the very first part of the book, I start by saying I love salespeople. Mm-hmm. And then I move to, what are you playing for? What's important to you? Why did you take this job? And it's probably around independence, betting on yourself, you know, wanting a better life, whatever it is for you. Why you sell, why you have an idea, why you're an entrepreneur. But the other part is, you know, what are you playing for? And most salespeople, if I said, what are the top three things you like about your job? They're probably going to say independence, money, and connection or relationship. Like, I like to build relationships with people. I like to be of service. I like to feel connected. It's probably one of the top three. And so that's in disagreement with saying yes when the answer is no, right? And I know I've heard on your show before people talking core values. And I think that's what we're talking about. Like, if you can get clear on what you play for and what feeds you, then bring that to these human interactions you're having. And most likely, I would say for most of the people listening, they don't want necessarily just the sale. They want to help that person. And I'm a firm believer, the more people you help, the outcome or the output of that, you know, what you will get, the outcome of that is success, right? But if you're just playing for money or the transaction, you're going to get buyer's remorse. You're going to get frustrated. People are going to shut you down and you're not going to have the life that you want.
Powerful. Powerful. All right, Carl, where can people find the book?
This is simple. I want you to remember an iceberg. I want you to remember selling. And then I want you to type in icebergselling.com. It's that simple. It's on Amazon. It's on Audible. There's PDFs of it as well. Real high level, icebergselling.com. You're going to find all about it, about me too. And there's links that'll take you to LinkedIn if you want to connect with me or learn about my other business, improving sales performance. But it's as simple as icebergselling.com.
Carl, we end every episode with guests sharing their words of wisdom. You've given us a whole bunch of knowledge on sales. And what would you say to encourage entrepreneurs listening?
Yeah. Believe in yourself. You can do it. We all fail. Like, we really do. I've never met an entrepreneur that hasn't made a mistake or had a failed business or something. If you know, it's not a big deal. I'm telling you, you know, so you make a mistake. Guess what? You're going to learn. You're going to get better. And the next iteration of you as a human and of your company will get better and better and better. So just get in the game. Try it out. Go to your phone. Find somebody to call. Ask them if they have a problem. See if you can help them. That's what I would say.
Carl, thanks so much for joining me. This has been a fantastic conversation. I appreciate you. Go to icebergselling.com and pick up Carl's book, connect with him on LinkedIn, and learn, get out there and sell some more.
Thanks, Robert. Been super great.
Thank you for tuning into this episode, brought to you by the power of intentional decisions that lead to massive action. These aren't just buzzwords. They're qualities that can help you take control of your life and build a successful 6- or 7-figure business. To support you on this journey, we're offering one of our most popular books, Fish Out, Leads In, 52 Fresh Ideas for Lead Generation. You can download it free at enjoybizlife.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please show us some love by liking, subscribing, and leaving a review. But most importantly, share it with someone who needs to hear it. In our next episode, Robert and Tom talk about leaving a legacy through storytelling. We also share a conversation about faith impacting our journey and how it can impact your business. How do your personal values align with your business values?